Hello, Internet. On Monday, November 8th, the Comedy Nerds will record a live episode immediately following Conan's first show on TBS. To listen live, go to thecomedynerds.com, and you can ask us questions or make comments using the hashtag ComedyNerds on Twitter, and we'll respond in real time. We'll see you all then, and Viva la Conan!
Comedy nerds is what I like. And Dustin and Dan, Dustin and Dan are on the mic. They interview, cause they got guests, and they will school you about comedy, comedy, ha, 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 ha. Comedy nerds, I wanna know all what they know. This is the Comedy, Comedy Nerd Show. Comedy, comedy, ha, ha, nerds, ha, ha. What's so funny, they tell you so. Ha, 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 nerds.
This is what I like about human beings. So those dudes...
They're soft.
Those dudes in the Chilean mine, right? They had it pretty bad, right? There were a few people on Earth.
They were in a mine. They were trapped in a mine.
Trapped
underground,
in a mine.
Half
yeah.
a mile underground. Yeah, no,
this
it sucked.
Is, this is what I'm saying.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I think there were a few people at a worse situation than they were in mm-hmm. up until today or whatever, yesterday.
Okay.
Some of the guys in the mine fought so they could be the last one out of the mine. Just, this is how much human beings love mystery. Just so they could be like, yeah, I was in 15 seconds longer than everybody. I was the last guy to get out of the mine. So.
Yeah, because they know that that's going to be the most famous guy in the movie. They know that
okay,
that's going to be
enough.
The guy who everybody's like, oh, he's the hero.
Still, I would still, even though you're right about the movie, I would still want to be the first guy. And I would want like a sandwich waiting for me. And then I want to sit on my couch for the rest of my life and be like, look, I was trapped in a mine.
Yeah.
I don't have to do anything. I literally do not have to do anything for the rest of my life. You people are going to take care of me because I was trapped in a mine. Did you not see the TV? Did you not see the news?
You know what story sort of got swallowed up in this whole thing?
No.
There were 32 men trapped in the mine. Is
mm-hmm.
that the number correct? 33.
Okay.
33. 32 of them.
Mm-hmm.
If there were 33, 32 of them had happiness waiting for them when they got out.
Yeah.
One of them, while he was in the mine, it was discovered that he had a wife and a mistress. And neither of them were happy about it. I don't know which one of them was waiting when he got up there, but either way,
yeah.
He was not looking forward to coming up because he knew somebody was kicking him in the nuts when he got up top.
Yeah.
So I think he may have been the one who was trying to stay in the mine
maybe.
The entire time.
This is like, you know what? Actually, I'll hang out here. You guys go. I'm going to stay and just make sure the mine doesn't collapse anymore onto itself. I'll be the guy who's doing that.
All right,
that, oddly enough, is number three on the list of reasons why I don't cheat on my wife. Might get chopped in a Chilean mine. I know it's weird.
And then she'll find out about your mistress?
I know it's weird. That's what I'm saying.
Okay.
That's why I don't do it.
Good thing she doesn't listen to the podcast ever.
No, I'm not saying, I'm saying I don't have one because, but I'm the guy who has it. Again, number three, might get chapped in a Chilean mine. Number two was might get chapped in a Brazilian mine. So I'm really concerned about the mine thing. Let's talk about the news.
Yeah.
So we got two sort of weird sequels / spinoffs coming out, possibly. Number one, Top Gun, that may be making a sequel to.
Topper Gun?
Topper Gun. 25 years after the fact, they're going to make a sequel.
Two Top, Two Gun?
And I will say this. It is 2010.
Yeah.
We have the technology. We have the money.
Yeah.
To make a volleyball sequence that is so unbelievably gay that I think it will turn off actual gay people. Gay people will be like, that's way too gay for me. So I'm super excited about this.
I don't know what you mean by that.
I'm super excited about how incredibly gay the volleyball sequence.
Well, I'm excited about
Top Gun 2, The Secret of the Ooze. Sorry, go on.
I'm excited about figuring out what song they're going to sing this time around to woo.
Right.
Because I feel like it's going to end up being like a Justin Bieber song and we're all going to want to shoot ourselves in the face.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So I guess I'm not looking forward to shooting myself in the face, but I'm looking forward to finding that out.
Yeah. I mean, the problem with Top Gun 2 is that back in the day, there were just sort of faceless Russians that we were shooting down. I don't know who they're going to be shooting down now. And then the people that we fight, they don't really have planes and such.
I think the Russians are still asking for it.
Oh,
yeah.
we'll just pretend like none of that happened. We're just still fighting the Russians.
Yeah.
After all this time, we're just like, damn you, Cold War. Why won't you end ever? China. We could fight China.
Yeah.
That's true. Although that would kind of lead to like World War III. I mean, we don't, Russia. Right now we're being friends with, well, that's, but it was a Cold War though.
I think if we were to fight China, we, you know what? Nobody cares about this. Okay. And what I say, and what I mean by that is my opinions on world events is what no one cares about. Yeah. Not what you were saying. I just mean my incredibly uninformed opinion. Nobody gives a shit about.
What was the other? You said there were two sequels coming out?
Well, it's not a sequel. New cartoon series.
Oh, yes.
Based off a movie. Napoleon Dynamite.
Awful idea.
The cartoon.
Oh, my goodness. Awful idea.
And I was like, oh, like a cartoon, you know, Adult Swim maybe.
Yeah.
No. No, apparently Fox.
Yep.
Fox is developing a Napoleon Dynamite cartoon.
Awful idea.
Why do you think it's so bad?
Because Napoleon Dynamite worked because it was a dude who was really awkward and you were just like, oh my God, I can't believe how awkward this person really is. Even if he's acting, it's so awkward and I'm so uncomfortable by this whole thing. But if you make that into a cartoon, then it's just irritating.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like I don't want to hear Napoleon Dynamite's voice coming out of an animated thing.
Well, I mean,
I want to hear John Benjamin's voice coming out of an animated thing.
Right.
All the time.
I mean, I agree with you. John Benjamin should be doing every cartoon character ever on every show. He should be every character. But I mean, a lot of people would say that the movie Napoleon Dynamite was, you know, unwatchable for that exact reason.
Yeah, no, and I think it was watchable at the time that it happened.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that time has come and gone. Yeah. And I think this is not the time for this cartoon.
I like Napoleon Dynamite.
I think bring back the Hammer.
When I saw it.
Cartoon.
What is the Hammer cartoon?
Hammer had his own cartoon where he had dancing shoes.
Oh, MC Hammer. I'm sorry.
He's Hammer now. I wanted to be politically correct.
You're right. No, you're right. He's Hammer. I didn't mean to.
Yeah, come on, dude.
He had a conversion.
Don't call me out.
He dropped the MC.
Yeah.
I mean, well, first of all, before that, I'd like to see Return of the Rubik the Amazing Cube, which was a cube from outer space where you mashed all the colors and then an alien would pop out and grant wishes. But what I was going to say, the thing I find funny about Napoleon Dynamite, or I find interesting, I should say, is that Netflix has this, you know, that where you rate movies and then they tell you what movies you might like based on what movies you rated. So they have what they call... unofficially, the Napoleon Dynamite problem.
Okay.
And the Napoleon Dynamite problem is there's a couple of movies, Napoleon Dynamite being one of the big ones, that people either give 5 stars to or they give 0 stars to. And there's not a lot of in between.
Okay.
So people either love it or they hate it. The other problem is there is no correlation between if you like these kinds of movies, you might love Napoleon Dynamite or you might hate it. There's no rhyme or reason to it. Napoleon Dynamite is one of the movies that breaks Netflix's system. They can't figure it out. They don't know what to do with it because it's a crapshoot whether or not people are going to like it. Like, usually if you like a certain kind of movie, you're going to like this movie at least somewhat.
That's good. Whatever. That means humans are more complicated than a program.
I know.
Yay.
Well, you say that, but the problem is every time I go on Amazon, they're like, would you be interested in this? I'm always like, yes. Yeah, I would be interested
in
that.
That's what I'm saying. Napoleon Dynamite is the movie that said that we're not robots.
I know, but I hate the fact that they have an algorithm that has figured me out. They have literally figured me out. If I'm not interested in it, if it's not interested in it, it's because I already own the thing they're trying
to sell. The algorithm is boobs greater than one, Dan equals Dan likes.
Yeah, that's true. But, I mean, I get a lot of weird, like, comedy stuff. But, yes, it's just annoying that someone somewhere types something into a computer and everything that I like is just like, yes, every time. They're never wrong. Unless, of course, I bought something for a gift for someone. That always throws them off because then it's like, no, I don't want Little House on the Prairie season 4. Sorry, but that's
you should
because...
not have given that as a gift.
Well,
what else do we
saying.
Have in our news?
Okay, here's the second week in a row that I'm going to not beat up on Dane Cook. I was waiting for you to jump in about how much I hate him. And
no, I was gonna I was gonna make the joke about how much you want to sleep with him. But
all right, that's fair enough.
But I thought, you know what, I did that last time,
and it was one of the two,
and I'm not gonna do it again.
I don't hate Dan Cook, and his
and you feel bad for him this time because
half brother,
right?
His half brother Daryl McCauley, I'm gonna guess, was sentenced to prison for stealing millions of dollars.
The dude
from Dane Cook
wrote a personal check forging Dane Cook's name for like $3
million. $3 million.
And just thought that was nobody's ever going to figure that out.
Mm-hmm.
Which makes me wonder, A, how much Dane Cook has, and B, just how stupid this guy was.
Yeah. Well, here's the thing. This to me is the danger of fame and money. That
you can lose millions of dollars and not notice it.
Well, that
does sound awful.
Well, no, that money, you know, changes things and it changes your relationships with people. That, you know, maybe his half-brother's a dick, but he could have lived his entire life and not known that. Yeah. But now, because of fame and money, he now knows that.
Yeah.
And so I wonder how many people in my life are horrible monsters under the surface, but I will never learn that because I will never have more than
that sounds good.
Than $500 in my checking account. That's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
That, you know, you're like, well, I wish I'd be rich and famous, but you never know what horrible things are going to come out of that.
Here's what I find confusing about that.
Mm-hmm.
Dane Cook has enough, has so many millions of dollars that he cannot notice it for a while. If somebody's got that many millions of dollars and you're that close to them that you could steal it from them,
yeah,
then you're probably close enough to go, hey, dude, can I maybe just get like 500 grand?
Yeah.
And there's a good chance he'll be like, you know what? Cool. What are you going to do for it? And you're like, I'm going to invest in some, you know, Mayan chili. And he'll be like, that might not be a good idea, but do it.
Well, I mean, I think...
I was trying to remember the Australian bicycle monorail thing.
Yeah. I don't know what you're talking about.
Google invested like $1 million in a monorail that where you ride a bike.
Oh, speaking of Google, Google, by the way, invented a car that drives itself.
Yeah.
Do we know about this?
Yeah.
So were we like 6 months away from Skynet? I mean, oh, Google, no, totally. Yeah. I love you, but seriously, do I? Because, I mean, at some point, I want to be chased down by a robot car and run over. So thank you very much, Google. Mm-hmm. Anyway, first of all, when you said Mayan chili, I thought you meant Mayan, like the ancient thing. And I was like, Mayan chili, what are you talking about? Okay, get past that. No, I mean, well, first of all, you know, he didn't have like a giant Scrooge McDuck vault where he was swimming around. So this guy was in charge of the money and he kept telling him the money is there. So he had no, every time he was like, hey, is my money still there? And he was like, yeah, it's still there, even though it wasn't.
And that is why Scrooge McDuck had that vault in the first place.
I mean, it's a brilliant
idea.
So
he could write a little line on the wall and say, this is how much money I have. Right. And if it went below the line, then somebody took it.
Yeah. And he also had all of his bones replaced so he could dive into a thing of gold and swim around and not get horribly beat up by that.
I have a small bucket where I keep all my money.
Yeah.
And it's sad because it's only like $75 in there.
There you go.
But I know where it is.
Mm-hmm.
And if one of my if my brother-in-law tries to take it, he probably can because he's bigger than me.
Yeah.
But
we'll have words. You would know that.
Yeah.
So
let's get into our show. Oh no, wait. We have a trivia question.
Yeah, we have a trivia question. Well, first of all, last week we have a trivia question.
Yeah.
And the person who answered it correctly first.
As a reminder, the trivia question was, who was the first stand-up comedian to perform on The Tonight Show with Conan O'Brien?
Yes, and the answer was Bill Burr.
Yes.
A comedian I like very much. So that's that. So
That's a great description of him.
So he won, and his name is Christian Polanco. He won, and so as the prize for getting the trivia question right, you get to be the sponsor for this episode.
Right, and he did win a free meal at The Creek in the Cave.
Yeah, I didn't want to bring that up because I didn't know how.
Because we don't have a prize this year.
Yeah, well, A and B, I didn't know if we had completely sealed all that
up.
Oh,
that'll happen.
Okay, good. So there you go. So you also won a free meal. But you're the sponsor for the week. So we're going to, whatever message, so this is to anyone listening, if you answer correctly, the first person answers correctly, you get to do whatever message you want. You get to be the sponsor for the week. So Chris emailed me, and Chris is a comic. He has a show, a monthly show, at Under St. Mark's Theater, and it's called And Then What Happened. The next show is November 3rd at 9 p.m., and the show is the first Wednesday of every month. And Then What Happened is a monthly NYC independent stand-up show that opens each show with an improv team doing improvised comedy scenes. It's one of the most diverse comedy shows in the city. It's hosted by Christian Polanco, with sidekick Luke Younger. Each show has several amazing stand-up comedians that have been seen on HBO, Comedy Central, Letterman, Conan, and they perform all over the country. So, yeah, that's it. So, like I said, it's November 3rd at 9 p.m. is the next show. So you should go see that, and it's at Under St. Mark's.
Yes, I recommend you see it. And, you know, I'll know better once Chris has me on the show, which I'm sure he's going to ask me now that I mentioned that.
Boo-boy. Just got awkward in here. Did it get awkward?
It did. I'm hoping for one of those Colbert things where he mentions Doritos and then he gets like Doritos.
Okay.
I'm hoping for the equivalent of that with a comedy booking.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Yeah. I mean, if I had my own show,
please send me your Dorito comedy booking.
So here is the trivia question. Yes. So if you want to answer the trivia question, go to our Facebook page. If you are the first person to answer the question, you get to be the sponsor for next week.
Yes, and you can find our Facebook page by clicking on the link on the website or searching for the Comedy Nerds on Facebook's little search dealer.
Yeah, and go ahead and also become a fan or a friend or whatever you do on there.
This week's trivia question is...
The long time ago, there was a show called the Smothers Brothers Comedy Hour.
Yes.
It was one of the first... It was the first show that had a new kind of comedy. It had...
When it involved yo-yos?
No yo-yos were involved, as far as I know. It did political satire. It did the new kind of comedy the kids were into. And it got canceled real quick because it raised a lot of feathers or rankled whatever. And so, but it led the way to shows like Saturday Night Live. It was the proto, you know, they had to be the lamb to the slaughter. People like Steve Martin, that was his first writing job on the thing. So the question is, this amazing, fantastic, groundbreaking show got canceled. Question is, what is the show that replaced the Smothers Brothers Comedy Hour in its time slot?
I'm going to guess the A-Team.
You're wrong.
Okay,
you're
wrong. I've narrowed it down for you guys.
it's not the A-Team. That is a clue.
Right.
So if you can tell us that, you'll get to be the sponsor for next week and possibly another prize, although I don't know if that's true.
Right.
Because we don't have a guest. So I'm not going to give anything away.
Yeah.
I got
bumped. Sound engineer, do you want to give anything away? No. Sound engineer does not want to give anything away.
No. That
she's looking at me like there's hate in her
eyes.
That
was a stony gaze.
Yes.
So let's move into your topic for the week.
Yes.
We just finished watching the live 30 Rock episode.
Wow, that just happened. it's a new, not a new thing. It's happened many times before.
Yes.
But it's very novel.
It is novel. Yeah, it is. I mean, well, you tell me what you thought of it.
I didn't think that it was a classical 30 Rock episode. I thought it maybe weighed a little bit off where they were going. They tried to be a little too cute with it, but I thought it was very ambitious for a live show, and anything that I've seen that people have done live before, I think they tried to break some barriers, and I thought it was funny.
Mm-hmm.
I think the seventh one that they did would be good.
Mm-hmm.
I think they would learn a bunch of stuff, and I think probably they'll look back on it and go, oh, maybe we don't try this, maybe we try that. But I think it was, I'm really glad somebody did it.
Right. Yeah, I mean, I liked it. The thing I like about 30 Rock is no matter what they're doing, they just dive in headlong. You know what I mean? Like they were like, we're going to do the live episode and it's going to be a live episode. You know what I mean? Like they didn't try to like, you're saying they got cute and they were doing funny things with the live episode.
Yeah.
That's what I kind of like about 30 Rock. They're just like, we're doing it and we're going to do the fake mess up. You know, the episode's going to be about Tracy Morgan purposely messing up on the show. You know, we're going to tease a nipple slip. You know, we're just going to do every joke. Like we're not going to hold back on anything. We're going to do product placement, and every time we do it, we're going to tell you that we just did it. You know, we're not going to be coy about anything. So that's what I've always liked about the show, that they're willing to do silly, stupid things and just dive in head first.
The thing that I liked, the thing I appreciated getting into the show for a minute, is within, I would say probably 30 seconds of the show, they did their first cutaway. Which, as we all know, like you're not supposed to like,
right?
You're not supposed to reference something that has happened and then show it.
Yeah.
Nobody's done that. I mean, as far as I know, I haven't seen another live show where they cut away to anything at all ever. And I loved it. And they had the chick from Seinfeld,
Julia Louis-Dreyfus,
as Tina Fey, and it was funny and it was cool. And I thought Julia Louis-Dreyfus tried to like ham it up a little bit more than she probably should have, especially considering like you're the guest here.
Yeah.
Like, be cool. but I was impressed that they did the cutaway thing. And they went to it so many times. And they must have had a ton of sets.
Yeah. I mean, well, first of all, I know that they basically broke down their set. Wherever they shoot, I guess, Silver Cup.
Yeah.
And moved it all to the SNL studios.
Mm-hmm.
So, which obviously far more equipped to do a live show than they would have been on their normal stage. So, I mean, I think that's, you know, I don't know how they do it, but I mean, obviously all the cut A's were just like in front of a wall. Like there wasn't anything that was like,
oh yeah, no, totally. Amazing. But I mean, there still had to be a bunch of different spaces to go to.
Yeah.
And the SNL crew, when they're doing the show proper, is not used to moving the sets while things are going on.
Yeah.
And I got the sense that they probably had to do that given the number of cutaways they went to. In SNL, they wait till they're in commercial and then move stuff. So I thought it was, I thought it was ambitious.
I mean, it was amazing. You know, it's kind of like thinking like, well, what if SNL, you know, sort of went from sketch to sketch without ever stopping, you know, because they're constantly cutting in between different rooms. I mean, it probably also the most, and it might be the most ambitious live sort of episode like that ever, because even when they would do live episodes, like, you know, in the 80s and stuff, a sitcom took place in one room. It was the living room.
Right.
You know what I mean? So it basically was like a play or something that they would just do. Whereas this was, they were all over the place. They were doing the cutaways that they do. Obviously, you know, different Julia Louis-Dreyfus was playing Liz since she couldn't run over there fast enough.
I was reading something about the Honeymooners, and they were talking about how, like, the Honeymooners was a little bit more improvised than this was by far. And, you know, they said back then, like, just keep the camera wide because we don't really know exactly how this whole thing is going to, you know, play out. And this time they didn't. I would have preferred maybe a little bit more wide than they were. I would have preferred a little bit more, you know, having fun with it.
Yeah.
But it was their first time. You don't mess around with it too much.
Yeah.
The episode had the triumphant return of Rachel Dratch, who has not been on the show in quite a while.
Yeah. I mean, that was great. You know, there was a ton of guest stars. There was Chris Parnell, Matt Damon, John Hamm showed up in a very weird scene. But yeah, I mean, you know, well, you know, I kind of like the fact that they didn't, because they could have, because that's kind of what I meant. They could have chickened out and been like, well, we all get trapped in a room together, you know, and so we're just going to have a three camera set up and it'll just be a long, like, SNL sketch. But they were like, no, we're going to be, you know, all over the place. By the way, I think the funny thing about the Honeymooners, I think Jackie Gleason, his approach to, like, learning lines was, like, just getting sort of the gist of it. Like, he never really fully knew. And apparently, whenever he would rub, if you watch episodes, whenever he rubs his belly, that's the signal to the actors, I have no idea what's going on right now. So please, please save me, because I don't know where we're going with this, or I have no idea what my lines are. So, well, and
Tracy Morgan definitely did that during the show.
Well, but if you watch The Honeymooners, you're just like, well, that happens like once an episode. He literally just was kind of like, you're going in front of millions of people just being like, I think I kind of know what happens in this scene. But yeah, all right, so why don't we take a break, because it's break time.
Yep.
And we come back, we'll talk about that, and we're going to talk about the history of sitcoms going live, which should be amazing. I can't wait. So we'll be right back.
Bye.
Do you have a question or topic you would like to hear the Comedy Nerds discuss? Send us an email to info@thecomedynerds.com or stop by the site and click Contact Us at the top of the page. We look forward to hearing from you at thecomedynerds.com.
Hey, and we're back, and we're talking about the live 30 Rock episode. By the way, the East Coast version. So something terrible happens on the West Coast version.
We're going to feel silly.
Well, we won't know. I mean, but, and also I think NBC.com, they're going to have both versions online that you can compare and contrast, which I can't think of.
I won't.
Doesn't seem at all nerdy to sit and watch two episodes of the same exact show back to back.
Her right hand was a little bit more like this. All right, so let's get into the episode a little bit.
Yeah, well, here is my reaction. It's funny that, you know, that just the liveness. First of all, the studio audience seemed very strange. This is not a knock against it. It just seemed very strange to hear laughing and cheering. It's also funny how that just makes it seem so much cheesier. Like when Matt Damon shows up on 30 Rock, it doesn't seem cheesy. It seems cool. Like, you have this giant movie star and it's fine. But on the live episode, when Matt Damon shows up, everyone goes, yeah, woo! And then it's like, it seems cheesy now. Yeah. Again, I'm not faulting 30 Rock for that. It's just a funny thing where just the people cheering just makes it seem strange.
Yeah. And it almost had that same vibe of like, when Christina Applegate would appear on Married with Children,
Everybody
would go crazy and be like, really? We're going to applause break that? Because she's in every episode. Well, so were you not expecting her to be in this one?
The funny thing about Married with Children is that they would do that for every character towards the end, including the dog. So, like, 10 minutes of a 22-minute episode was just people clapping, like, and them just standing there. Like, they must have, those scripts must have gotten shorter and shorter every week because they just had so much time to fill of people going, woo!
I know you don't like it, but did you ever see that episode of Family Guy when Lauren Conrad was on and she was talking about the Hills?
Well, here's the thing. First of all, you say I don't like Family Guy. I have problems with it, but I like it. Second of all, despite the fact that I have a lot of problems with it, I've seen every goddamn episode.
Well, in the episode of Lauren Conrad, they talk about the Hills and they show like 15 seconds and they're like, oh no, they just filled the rest of it with shots of LA and scenes from the A-Team. And it was awesome.
That's awesome. My other reaction to it is, why is everybody shouting? It seemed like everyone was yelling.
Because they're not used to the fact that they're dealing with mics that are not where they are.
Yeah. But that's weird, though, because a lot of people on the show, and I wrote it down, Tina Fey, Tracy Morgan, Julia Louis-Dreyfus, Chris Parnell, Rachel Dratch, Bill Hader. These are all people who have been on SNL, obviously. So they shouldn't they be a little more comfortable with? And also, Alec Baldwin, Jon Hamm, and Matt Damon have all hosted SNL. So these are people who are not unfamiliar with
I don't know. I don't know what the microphone situation was.
Well, the other thing, what I'm saying, again, it's not knocking against them. I think if you watch SNL, you will notice that they are kind of shouty. And I don't know why that is. There must be a good reason for it.
They got yelled at by the sound guy.
Like maybe. Or if you're performing in front of a live audience, you just feel like you need to project more.
Yeah.
But it was just because I've never seen a taped episode of Saturday Night Live. I have nothing to compare it to. No. What I'm saying is, I mean, like, a not live episode of Saturday. Like, they've never taped it beforehand
Do that Saturday Night Tape.
So I then nothing to compare it to, but just watching 30 Rock, it just seemed like everyone was yelling very loudly all their lines.
I know we just made fun of the fact that somebody watching one episode and going into the other, and it would be nerdy to compare the two. Mm-hmm. But there is one thing I'm curious about. There was a joke in there. Because they threw in a couple of topical ones because they wanted to seem hip and cool and with it.
Yes.
And one of the jokes was about the Chilean miners. Mm-hmm. And, you know, how they got letters because, you know, negative things she said. And she's like, oh, are they geniuses for getting stuck in a mine? And that didn't work out so good.
Yeah.
You know, that was today.
Yeah.
You can't make fun of today things.
Right.
And I'm curious. I wonder if they're going to like change it for the West Coast, realizing that the audience is not going to be into it.
I doubt they will, but I mean that is the danger of writing a joke today, because you don't have a chance to think like, is this a good joke? Because I think of jokes all the time that I would never.
None of them are very good.
Well, okay, yes, true, but yeah, just okay. I mean, offensive wise, I sort of realize like after I've written them down, like, nah, maybe this one I shouldn't use. So again, that is just the danger of writing.
Could you only write jokes about Puerto Ricans?
Well, I mean, they're funny. Okay, they got those low riding cars, and I don't know, all kinds of crazy things. They all have mustaches for some reason. So So now here are the people I was trying to think: Jane Krakowski, Scott Adsit. These are two people who I don't think have ever been on Saturday Night Live. I don't think they've ever hosted. I can't imagine why they would. So, I mean, that's got to be a weird thing for them. I don't know if they have any experience with live television.
Experience with theater. It's not,
I guess so,
wickedly different.
I know, but I don't know. I would just feel like, well, if I totally screwed up in a theater, 300 people are going to see it. If I screw up here, 5 million people are going to see it.
I get that.
Well, I mean, just saying. I wonder if people are excited about this enough to tune in to bump the ratings.
Enough people knew about it, to be honest with you.
Well, that seems like the fault of the NBC promotion department.
It does seem like the fault of the NBC department. Because I don't think they really promoted too much off-network. And nobody watches NBC. So. Yeah.
So I thought the episode was very funny. They did have... I was sort of thinking during the Chris Parnell bit as the doctor.
Dr. Spichemin?
Spichemin.
I just did air quotes. I'm sure you heard the doctor part because he did the quotes.
The air quotes.
Is he not really a doctor? Anyway, I could listen to him sing about love
Yeah.
All the time.
But what I was saying, what I was thinking was if I had just tuned in, I might think that this was an old episode of Saturday Night Live because it looked exactly.
Oh, totally did.
Like just, yeah. I mean, both that and the John Hamm bit were just SNL sketches, essentially, that yeah. they sort of tacked on at the end. Nothing wrong with that. I'm just saying that it just seemed very funny that there were sort of these long cutaways that were essentially just sketches that they stuck in on the end. I like that it went to technical difficulty sign both times going to commercial. I thought that was very funny. Yeah, and I mean, I thought, you know, it was an interesting experiment. And again, I love that 30 Rock's just like, you know, yeah, we're going to do it. You know, yeah. we sort of had this idea and we're like, we're going to just dive headlong into it. So
I dig the fact, and this has nothing to do with the episode. I dig the fact that the Dr. Spaceman joke,
yeah,
because it's spelled Dr. Spaceman.
Yeah.
Was a throwaway joke.
Yeah.
From like, you know, like the fourth episode when everybody thought he was crazy because yeah. he wanted to get Dr. Spaceman to give him his prescription or whatever it was. And they just stuck with that. And like, yeah. oh no, we're going to keep Dr. Spaceman.
Yeah.
On like all the time, and he's going to be ridiculous, and I love it.
Yeah,
that's all I want to say.
I just love that. Just every time he shows up, he's a little bit worse than he was the yeah. time before. So that's great. Yeah, I mean, did you have anything else about this episode?
I thought it was risky and exciting that they had Alec Baldwin constantly trying to get high or drunk, considering
yes.
his checkered past.
Yeah,
I think it was the first time anybody tried to sniff paint on live TV. the cutaway for him mm-hmm. his romp in
yes.
his I don't know for sure, but I'm gonna create a rumor
okay.
that says that those were the two women from the porno.
Oh, okay.
I don't know. There's no reason for me to believe that.
Yeah.
Other because I don't really remember the episode that well, but I'm gonna assume
okay.
that was a shout out to the porno, and those women were probably available.
Mm-hmm. I'm gonna
so
say,
I like to think that they got them.
Yeah, I'm going to say I heard from a friend that those were definitely those women.
Okay.
And that is a thing that everyone should write up on the internet.
Yeah,
and
you
say
should
that that's
quote
a thing.
Us even if we're wrong,
mm-hmm.
because we need publicity.
Okay.
So
you
anybody,
put a real fine point. I was sort of coyly going around that, but you were just like, no.
Oh, yeah, no.
We want to...
I am honest with our audience.
I like that. I like that. I like the honesty.
Yes.
You're like Honest Abe.
I want them to whore our names out.
Yeah.
For something that may or may not be true,
mm-hmm.
but we all want to be
yeah.
true.
You're like Abraham Lincoln, but instead of seeing our country through its most trying hour, you host a comedy podcast in your living room. And
right.
and that's the only difference between you and him.
If by living room you mean Studio 3A, then yes.
Then yes. Then yeah, I do. And also, I love your stovepipe hat. And
Thank
I just
you.
Want to say that. So yeah, I mean, I thought it was great. You know, I mean, it was nothing mind-blowing or groundbreaking.
No.
But I mean, what are you going to do, you know, with a live episode?
In terms of SNL skit, because you said the two commercial parodies,
because mm-hmm.
Every time they went to commercial, they went to a commercial parody first.
Right.
The second commercial parody was John Hamm. And the idea was, because he had gotten both of his hands cut off.
Yes.
And he had
didn't he stick his hand into a whirring helicopter blade? Wasn't it
something like that?
Yeah, just purposely had stuck his hand yeah. into it.
And he had two hook hands originally on the show.
Yeah,
but he had gotten them transplanted with serial killer's hands.
Yes,
and I love that they were like what started out as
as a horror movie pitch became yeah. a charity.
Right. And I loved it. I don't know. I just thought it was an awesome idea for a sketch. But they're like,
yeah.
oh, no, let's actually do it. Let's
yeah.
make it a charity. And then it still ends up exactly the same way.
Yeah. You know, it's funny, too. I think it says a lot for 30 Rock about how the timing and everything is so important. Because it did feel very sluggish. And,
yeah.
again, I'm not picking on them. It's easy to... take out six frames when you're editing, but you can't do that live, obviously. But yeah, it was just funny how it felt so like kind of but it was you know, I've said nothing but bad things about an episode that I really enjoyed and I thought it was great. But again, it's just an interesting thing to see.
So let's get into some of the other
okay.
live shows that have happened.
So
they did not just happen. But
no.
they have happened.
No, some of these happened a long, long time ago.
As far as I know, Rock is the only one that I can remember.
Okay, Rock is on the list. Good job. Okay.
I got one.
So here's the surprising one.
Sound engineer's impressed.
For reasons...
Kind of.
Well, actually, I thought Rock had a live episode. But as I go forward, we'll see that's actually not true.
What?
Okay, here we go.
Okay.
So the first one.
Yes.
Is from 1985. Okay. I mean, not the first live show ever.
Yeah, we're discounting all the ones that were always.
Well, these are shows that were taped sitcoms. You know, yeah. Obviously the Honeymooners doesn't count because it was always live. But once they started taping shows, they then turned around and had a live episode.
Okay.
So 1985.
Family Ties?
Give it, no.
Oh.
Good guess, though. Even Stranger. Even just sort of, what? Why?
Okay. Small wonder.
February 23rd, 1985. Give Me a Break.
Really?
Does a live episode. Only on the East Coast, though. So they taped it and then showed it
on the West Coast. Suck it, California.
Exactly. But for some reason, there's really not a lot to it. They lost their cat and they looked for it and it was live. I don't know why, but Nell Carter was there because it was Give Me a Break.
Yep. All right. Well, that's the thing.
It's time to get my piece of the cake. Give me a break. Okay. So now,
that's one of those shows I barely remember existed.
Yeah, it did though. I loved Give Me a Break. So after that we have 1992 is Rock.
Yes, that's the one I remembered.
Yes.
Because it has a guy who was a convict.
Yes. But for the entire second season.
It was live the whole second season?
Was live. Now, here's the weird thing. They had three seasons. First season taped. Second season live. Third season taped. I don't know why. But apparently the cast was, they were, you know, theater actors. They were used to working in theater. And they were like, let's just do it live. Now, what I remember is watching Rock. And the guy who wasn't Rock, but someone else, or maybe it was Rock, doesn't matter, sits down in the chair, opens up that day's newspaper, crowd goes crazy. They love it. He's got that day's New York Post in his hand. People go insane. And, you know, that's what it takes to get people on their feet in a studio audience. It's real. It's live. They were also another one that would like slip in references to things that happened like that day. Just to be like, we're live. So that was Rock. Thoughts
okay.
on Rock?
Yeah, no. Okay. No, I mean, I thought it was a fine show. And when they said like, oh, we're going to go live. I only remember it as being one episode, but it just seemed like one of those shows. I don't understand why you need to do that. Like it just struck me as like, you're not the type of show that like seems like you would like that would be a thing,
right?
Because I just remembered it as being like, you know, a less ridiculous version of like Family Matters or something like that. And
well, I mean, I think that was sort of the problem that they were trying to find a way to stand out, and this was sort of their gimmick to be like, look at us, look what we're doing, bud.
But live TV, as we've seen from the 30 Rock episode, is sort of like improv compared to sketch.
Yeah.
You know, like it's more exciting.
Yeah.
But you can get away with being a little rougher around the edges.
Absolutely.
That type of sitcom doesn't really lend itself to being allowed to be rough around the edges.
Well, I mean,
not consistently.
I think actually Rock was probably a good show for it because it was, I think it all took place like in a house. And I think it was sort of like an All in the Family kind of like, you know.
Yeah, no, but
it dealt with serious issues, so it was sort of more like a play than like, you know, than anything else. But yeah, I mean, I agree with you.
I just feel like it could, that type of thing is never going to be as good when you're doing it live as it would be if you had a couple opportunities to go through it for the type of writing that happens around that time.
Right. No, you know, I agree with you.
For the Honeymooners was a different style of writing and a different style of acting and a whole other thing, and that had to work for that time because it was the only option.
Yeah, but I mean, there's also the chance of it's just more exciting, you know. Yeah. I mean, you just, you know, it's like improv when it's like, well, if you did a sketch that was just a written up version of that improv scene, it wouldn't be as funny, but just because you're like, this is happening right now, like I'm watching this happen, it just makes it that much better. But
I don't want that in my week to week sitcom.
Yeah. Not a comedy, admittedly. Did a live episode.
That was a rough one.
Yeah.
That was a rough one.
Didn't work that well, but it was, I do remember that I think it was like a documentary crew was filming the hospital. That was sort of the gimmick of that one. And I don't know why I remember this, but I think a guy goes crazy and like comes at the camera with a knife. That was like one of the act breaks.
Mm-hmm.
And in the East Coast, he jumps over a gurney and like tackles the cameraman and it goes to static. And on the West Coast, he tried to jump the gurney and he got caught and fell.
Ooh.
And had to like scramble to get to his feet and like sort of lamely put his hand over the lens of the camera, I think, at the last possible second. So I remember that. I remember seeing that on the news the next day, that they were like, oh, mistake in live ER episode.
What I remember from it was, you know when you're watching a sketch and somebody's got to throw up?
Mm-hmm.
And clearly, like, there's a tube in their wrist, and they just sort of keep it, like, near.
Mm-hmm.
They were totally doing that in that episode, and they were not good at all. They were not hiding the tube in any way. So I remember being so taken out from it because they were clearly, like, vomiting out of their sleeves.
Right.
Like, four or five times in the episode. So it was just like, I'm not buying it.
Yeah.
Sorry. Yeah. Even though you're the best show that I stopped watching for no reason.
Mm-hmm.
ER, that is.
Well, I mean, that was the best show where I was just like, it's seriously still on? Like,
yeah.
Because I said it's still on 4 years ago, and you're telling me now it's still actually still on?
And, but the weird thing about the show, and I feel bad about it, and then we'll move on because it has nothing to do with comedy.
Yeah.
Was that every time you watch it, you're like, damn, this is a good show.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not going to keep watching it, but this is a good show, and I will enjoy it every time I watch it. But instead, I'm going to watch some other more ridiculous show at this time.
Yeah, I'll tell a real quick story about ER. One of the most famous episodes was the one where the woman comes in, she's pregnant, and then like just bit by bit things keep going wrong, and then she eventually dies at the end, and then there's this horrible scene where they have to tell the husband that the wife is dead, who came in for like a routine checkup, and it's like horrible. Blah, 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 blah. I watched that episode in the hospital.
Ooh.
And was kind of like, get me out of here. I was like pulling tubes out of my arm. I was like, please, for the love of God, you people are going to kill me. Oh my God. Okay. Not the comedy, but the West Wing did a live debate episode between Jimmy Smits and Alan Alda.
Right, because they had to figure out a way to not just be walking down hallways backwards.
So that happened. I think it was fine. I mean, it basically was just like a fake debate. It looked just like a debate, but
that's hard because Sorkin copy is not easy copy to say quickly.
Yeah, no,
I can't even describe it quickly without stumbling over my words.
here's one that that had a good intentions, did not work out well in execution.
Okay,
the Drew Carey Show did not just a live episode, but an improvised episode.
Oh, yes.
Because this is when Drew Carey was hosting, like, Whose Line Is It Anyway? The American version?
Mm-hmm.
So someone would say a line, and then nobody knew when, none of the actors knew when, a bell would ring, and they'd have to come up with a better line than the one they had just said. They also, I think, did a singing sort of thing where, you know, I give you a line, and you have to rhyme that line or whatever. Good idea. It was terrible. I mean, because like all the improvised jokes were like not funny, and it was awkward and weird. So a good try. I give them an E for effort. But I remember watching that being like, oh boy, this is rough. Because I remember like there was something where like the person sang a line. Oh, I think it was actually Craig Ferguson sang a line, and then the next person couldn't think of a rhyme. It was just like, I don't know.
Yeah, and that, like, hey, people who don't know improv, that happens all the freaking time.
Yeah.
You know, it doesn't happen as much when you're used to performing together a lot, but the truth of the matter is these people are not used to performing together a lot.
Yeah.
Sure, they're on that show,
mm-hmm.
and sure, they improvise together when that show is taping, but that doesn't mean that they're on an improv group together. That doesn't mean they're touring around and, you know, perform together every night. So, yeah there's going to be those bumps.
Yeah.
And when they record Whose Line, it's 3 hours that they added down to half an hour. So thinking that you can pull it off as a show, I admire the moxie.
Yeah.
But I do not think that it's really going to work consistently or ever. But I'll tune in, and that's all you really wanted so that you could sell
exactly.
the soap.
You already won. Congratulations. Will and Grace did 2 live episodes, and I think they were just fine. And there's really not a lot to say about them.
Because it's Will and Grace. And it was funny.
I think there
And it was okay.
Yeah. I think that's also my review of the series.
Yeah.
It was fine. I have nothing much more to say about than that. I think Deborah Messing and Sean Hayes, this is the big thing. I think they got into a giggle fit. They couldn't stop laughing at one point. They broke up, and that's about it, which did that really happen? I don't know.
That's like that lost episode of the Comedy Nerds where we just giggled for 45 minutes.
And then Joy stabbed me to death. so, and then the only one I have, this is not a comedy either, but based off the awesomeness of the ER live episode. George Clooney produced Failsafe, which was a not a movie, but like a play, basically, that had been done live in the 50s, and they redid it in the year 2000. And it was basically like a live movie, essentially, that they did. And I think it was fine.
I didn't see it, so I have nothing to say
about it. Harvey Keitel, George Clooney, Don Cheadle, Sam Elliott, Hank Azaria, Noah Wiley, Brian Dennehy, and James Cromwell, doing sort of. I think a nuclear bomb is missing, and they're looking for it.
So it was Broken Arrow.
Yeah, except that
Christian Slater wasn't on it. Was Christian Slater?
And also they had done the original Failsafe in the 50s. So actually, I do have a comedy thing about this. Failsafe was based off a book, and there's another movie based off the same exact book. Do you know what movie that is? Doctor Strangelove. They made a comedy. They were just like,
drama.
They made a comedy and a drama out of the same book. There you go.
Was George Clooney?
I did it at the end.
Was George Clooney all the same parts?
Could you imagine? That would be hilarious.
Because then I will see it.
Yeah.
Then I will watch it.
Unfortunately, I don't think that's true. Okay. But I do believe in both versions. Slim Pickens rides a nuclear bomb down. So check that out. So that's
which was really hard to do.
Oh my God, are you kidding me? I mean, they just dropped the bomb, like, and that's why you never saw him again. He turned into a radioactive monster that had to be put down. So thank you guys so much for listening. That was our live TV.
Yes, episode. Recorded live in front of sound engineer.
Yeah, that's true. That's weird. We didn't do this live. We're gonna do a live episode in a few weeks, and we didn't do our show all about live stuff live. What are you gonna do? That's the way life works. Internet, I can't help you.
And stick around because in 3 hours we're gonna do this again for for sound engineer West.
Yeah. We have a sound engineer.
She likes us a lot better.
We have a sound engineer flying in from the West Coast just so we can do this exact same thing over again.
The sound engineer West likes to stab me instead of stabbing
it. Is. And she has a goatee. It's really weird. She's opposite in every way.
Well, let's all admit, the sound engineer East is way prettier than the sound engineer West.
Oh, yeah. No, absolutely.
West is nicer, except to me. But
yeah. Well, I like West because she stabs you, not me. Also, I don't know.
Anyway, thank you guys for listening.
Her name is Yoj. This is Joy backwards.
Don't ruin it.
Okay, thank you guys. Oh, yeah, shit, I forgot. Thank you guys so much for listening. I don't know. What was I going to say here? Go to thecomedynerds.com for all your comedy nerds needs.
Yep, don't forget to answer the trivia question.
Which was, what show replaced the Smothers Brothers Comedy Hour? Look it up on Wikipedia or Google, and I'm sure you'll find it very easily. Be the first person to answer, and you get to sponsor our show.
Yep.
Next week. And that's it. So we will see you guys next week, and have a great week.
Bye.
Goodbye. You've been listening to The Comedy Nerds. If you have any questions or comments, please email us at info@thecomedynerds.com. Check out our website at thecomedynerds.com, where you can comment on any past episodes. And if you enjoyed this show, please write a review in iTunes and tell the world how awesome we are. For Dustin and myself, thank you for listening.